Morning. It is good to see you here this morning. I'm so happy to be back once again. I've been so in and out, but I'm excited. I'll be here for a couple months without break, I'm pretty sure. And so it's exciting. We're doing things a little bit differently. We have a table, so we come to the Lord's table rather than the altar. So we're doing things just a little differently. The table's down close here so that we can enjoy it together. It's also where I've been standing. So now we all get to make some adjustments, huh? So, and it's a joy to have our choir with us. Yay. It's exciting. In sign language, when you clap, you go like this. So if you ever, that's what I'm clapping. Because imagine if you're deaf. And you just finished something, and everyone's sitting, and their hands are here going like this. You can't see it. You can't hear it. Just like, oh, they didn't like it. So you go, oh, yeah, it's great. So, yeah. So this morning, the scripture lesson. Oh, this morning is Grandparents' Day, in case you didn't know. In case when you started doing the prayer, you went, what's that about? It's Grandparents' Day. Yeah. Yeah, so we celebrate. How many people still have grandparents alive? Anyone? I don't, so. I only ever had one grandparent in my lifetime that I knew. Nice. Yeah, so we got some of the younger people. I'm sitting with my grandpa. Absolutely. Praise God. My daughter is off with her grandparents today. And I am a grandparent, so yay. Grandparents are a wonderful gift so many times. This morning, our scripture lesson talks about lost and found and celebrating. And the message about lost and found is huge and important and powerful, but we have to deal with that party aspect first. I am a person who enjoys a party. I usually tell people any excuse for a party is good enough for me. It's not hard to get me to celebrate. My son has enjoyed that same attitude and asked me if I thought it would be okay to keep a 2-liter of root beer and some cups in his locker at school, because you never know when you're going to need to celebrate. Any excuse is good enough. But it's a little painful when you're reading this scripture. Now, we talked before about when we read the Bible, we tend to switch sides. Whatever side's the good side that Jesus is looking to, that's the side we're on. So if it's the poor and pitiful, we're with the poor and pitiful, you know, that's Jesus saying. And if it's, you know, the rich and wealthy but wise and gracious, that's where we are. But this one is a little hard because Jesus says there's more rejoicing over a sinner than over the righteous ones. And it's really hard to get excited and say, yep, I'm with the sinners. Because, we kind of want to feel like we're with the righteous. That's why we keep changing sides, because we want to be on the right side all the time, and this time the right side's on the sinner side. That doesn't feel good. And it feels a little awkward as people who live and make church a part of your lives on a regular basis. Kind of feels like, so everyone else is getting the attention and not me. Never me. When's there going to be a party for me? Maybe just a little one. Maybe not a whole crowd of people. Not everybody likes a crowd. Some people, thrive on a crowd of people, giving them a party. Some people would be just overwhelmed by that. But it's nice to have people acknowledge that you're precious and important. That's really nice. And it's hard to hear, because you kind of want to feel like you're part of the righteous. So I want to assure everybody two things that are really important to understand. One is that we get to come to the party even if we're not the star of it. So when a sinner repents and the angels are rejoicing, we get to join in the party. We're not even especially gate crashers. We have a permanent invitation to dance with the angels whenever there's a party. But the other side of that is that even while we have many of us been in church most of our lives, not all of us, but many of us, we still are sinners. And we still need to repent and turn again to Jesus. And so we still get to have those times when we're the star, and sometimes that might be a little embarrassing to discover that we're the star when we thought we were on the right path, only to discover that, in fact, we were totally lost. Lost and found. Anybody here ever been lost in a scary part of town? A few people have had that experience. Okay, so like I am the type of person, in many ways I'm intelligent and creative, and in some ways I'm oblivious, totally oblivious. So I'm the kind of person who often doesn't recognize I'm in a scary part of town. So I'm not usually scared when I'm lost in a scary part of town, because I don't even know I am in a scary part of town. I remember a wonderful, wonderful example of being totally lost. And just wondering here, if how many people here have ever driven in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C.? Driven in Washington, D.C. We have, yeah, so we're approaching a dozen people in here. Okay, has anybody in that group who's driven in Washington, D.C., ever driven in Washington, D.C., thinking of the whole of your experience, that you never got lost, ever, driving in Washington, D.C.? Got one? One. Yeah. Yeah. Washington, D.C. is a grid, and then it has these circles that put out diagonals. Yeah, spokes, smack in the middle of the grid. And so it is really, and then it has these expressways that go underneath stuff, and suddenly there's no exit for miles. And you find yourself accidentally on an expressway, and you emerge, and you have no clue. At least that's my experience. So my sister and I were touring. We've hooked up for part of the, I took a trip in 87. Travel around and check out the seminaries. I was a teacher, so I had summer off. I thought I'd go visit seminaries and see which ones I might really want to apply to, because I knew I was going to go to seminary, not in 87, but in 88, in the fall of 88. So I took the summer of 87 to travel around, and so she hooked up with me in New York, and we stopped in D.C. And so we were in a hotel at the edge of town, and we decided it's broiling hot in D.C. in the summertime, so the best time to go sightseeing is at night. And so we were going to go see the monuments at night. And so we hopped in the car and started buzzing in when I realized I forgot the map. Not a problem. The Washington Monument is right there. You can see it plainly. So we're driving in, and it's right there. We're like headed right towards it until you get to what was the old Redskin Stadium, and suddenly the road, you have to turn, and then the Washington Monument's over there. So, you know, so then you're, you know, until you get there, and we parked, and we wandered around the mall and looked at the monuments at night are just gorgeous, beautiful. Oh, we had, and it's the evenings are wonderful. It was a wonderful trip. Excellent. And then it was time to go back to our motel. And do you know they don't have a giant thing like this on the motel telling you how to get back to it? So now we are totally turned around, because it was a straight shot. I had looked on the map. It's a straight shot in, but I didn't know that you had to go. And so how do we get back? How do we get that street that takes us straight back again? So we started down, and of course, we got lost. And so we stopped and asked for directions. And the people said, well, you go, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, so we started doing that and found ourselves on an expressway and ended up somewhere else, who knows where. So we emerged, and we're like, oh my gosh, I have no clue where I am. So we asked for directions again. And they said, oh, yeah, well, you have to get back on the expressway going the other way. And when you get to this place, then you're going to take the circle. That's always, you know, the circle. You have to get off on the right spoke. You're going to take the circle and la-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then it's a one-way, so you have to go the other way, and la-da-da, and okay. Okay, so we got on, we found ourselves in Virginia. Okay, this is not the right spot. So we're back, oh my gosh. So we stopped at one place, this is my favorite. We stopped at one, this gas station. We stopped at the gas station, and I said, does anybody know how to get to, you know, this part of town we're trying to get to? And this little boy jumps up, he's so excited, he says, yeah, you just hop on the 52 and it'll take you right out there. He was so proud of himself to be able to help. I was like, great. And I'm thinking in my head real fast, maybe I could just follow a 52. I don't know. And I said, but I'm in a car. He's like, oh, he was crushed. And this other man stands up. He says, okay, it's really easy. You go down here about 3 blocks, and there's a Popeye's chicken. When you see the Popeye's, you turn left. You go about, oh, maybe like 5 or 6 blocks, and, you know, in between the police department and the whatever, you're going to see a Denny's. And when you get to the Denny's, you're going to turn left again. And then you're going to, and he took us through this fast food. But and we're like, so we're driving. We get in the car, it's like, okay, 3 blocks to the Popeye's. 3 blocks. We go 3 blocks. There's no Popeye's chicken. No Popeye's chicken. And we're like, okay, well, let's just try a couple more. You know, a couple more blocks up there was a Popeye's chicken. I said, okay, we're going by the fast food. We got there. We followed the fast food restaurant chain that he got, and we found our hotel. Wonderful, wonderful, helpful. Later, I found out that the neighborhood we got the best directions from and finally found our way home, that neighborhood probably in that year had more than 200 murders in it. Didn't know it was a scary part of town. No idea about that. You can get lost and you can find yourselves in a scary part of town. It's that way for us, though, in life. That we can be going along pretty well, sailing a few glitches, and then suddenly find that we are totally not where we thought we were. So far from where we thought we were. No clue how to get back where we need to be with God. Getting lost. Getting lost is actually kind of easy. How many people here have ever read the C.S. Lewis book, The Screwtape Letters? Okay, there's a few. Yeah, The Screwtape Letters. If you enjoy sarcasm, that is an excellent book. If you kind of sarcasm passes you by, don't even try. But if you like sarcasm, it's a hilarious book. But in this one, the gist of the book, The Screwtape. Screwtape is like a mentor demon who's trying to coach his nephew Wormwood on how to lead souls to hell. And so all we ever get is Screwtape's side of the letters, but we can kind of guess what the nephew's letters had been, the questions that the nephew's been asking. And at one point, Screwtape says, you don't need to entice the soul that you're leading. You don't need to entice the person to murder when a game of cards will do the trick. And he says this, the way to hell is wide and paved, easy to walk, gently sloping with no mile markers. That last part is so key, with no mile markers. Meaning, you can be out for a nice stroll, get on this beautiful path, and walk a long time having no clue how far you've actually wandered away from where you meant to be. Gently sloping with no mile markers. You're just out, and it was a nice, easy trail, and you were enjoying it, and then somewhere along the line, you suddenly realized that you are nowhere near where you thought you were. What do you do? Well, here's the thing. If you're just a little bit away, when you're getting lost and you've just begun and you found that you started on the wrong trail, what do you do? If you're hiking and you went, oh, I started on the wrong trail, you turn around, you go back, and you try again, right? Repent, the Hebrew word for repent is shuv, and it literally means to turn and go in a new direction. Get a shuv, right? Okay? If you have been walking a ways and you realize that you're totally lost, what are you supposed to do? You stay still. You stay still. So here is the thing. We sing so many songs, and we'll be singing them in the second service for sure and stuff, about sinner, come home. Come on back. But if you're so far gone, you don't know which direction home is, that's where the stories from today come in, where the person goes looking for the lost one, where Jesus comes out looking for us. If you find you're gotten way lost and you don't know how to get home again, you just sit down and pray, right? And wait for Jesus to show you the way. Because sometimes we can find in our lives, in our everyday decisions that we make, that somehow we got buried in all the layers of confusion, and we are feeling lost and isolated, and we don't know what to do next. And sometimes, for some of us, that can go on a lot longer, because some of us feel like we got to do it all. We're smart, we're capable, we have good skills and resources. We can do it ourselves. So we keep going. We don't want to ask for help. We don't want to admit we need help. We sure don't want anybody else to know we were asking for help. So we keep trying to straighten it out ourselves, and it just keeps getting worse. You see, have you ever had that experience? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because that can, you know. Have you ever had that experience where you found that you knew you weren't quite making it right, but it should be working? If I just keep at it a little longer, it's going to come out right this time. You know? That's you know, the logic of addiction too. You know, oh, this time I'm just going to be a social drinker. Oh, this time I'm not actually going to, you know, need those chemicals anymore. I can do it. I'll just will myself into that better place. If I just have enough will inside. And I say, yeah, well, you got the willpower. It's the won't power we lack, right? I won't take that drink. I won't have those drugs. I won't obsess about my work today. We can get ourselves so lost and turned around with the best of intentions. And then we need to just sit down and pray and let Jesus show us the way. And then you know what happens when Jesus shows us the way? Have you had that? You remember that moment when you felt overwhelmed and then suddenly things shifted and your life was coming together again? The happy feet dance? Yeah, and the angels in heaven too? Woo-hoo! Yes, finally! We were waiting for you to sit down. We kept following, saying, shh, shh, shh. No, it's the wrong way. No, it's not going to work. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Those kind of parties we don't really need, huh? I think most of us would actually enjoy not having a party that finally we stopped wandering so far away. See, we read the scripture and it says there's more joy over one who repents than the 99, and we feel like, oh man, they're taking me for granted now. Instead of saying, oh praise God, I didn't wander and get so lost that my life was so messed up that I was hurting so much that they had to send out a search party to find me. I had wandered so far away from the gospel path that they had to send a search party to find me. Oh, praise God. Praise God that I've only taken little short misguided turns and was able to come back. It starts by saying Jesus was sitting with the sinners. Well, probably they knew where Jesus was. Oh, he's over at so-and-so's house. Let's go there. Yeah, yeah. You just go past the Popeyes, turn left. The Starbucks is there. Jesus is there. You're going to have some coffee with Jesus today. Yeah. But sometimes we ourselves, having grown up in the church and having met the risen Lord, we still wander so far away and let our lives get so layered with confusion and try to figure it out for ourselves until we're sitting in a big old pit wondering if we can ever get out and finally sat still long enough for Jesus to come and say, okay, you ready to go home? Yeah, praise God that that doesn't happen on a regular basis, huh? But here's the thing about it. There are people who are hurting, and they don't know where to find Jesus. You see? They need somebody to tell them, go past the Popeyes, turn right at the Starbucks. Jesus is there, you know. You go just past the drive-through sushi. The next intersection, you turn right. There's a church with a sign out front that says, imagine there's a place for you there. And there's a risen Lord who wants to love you. We need to be helping the lost people find their way home and dancing with the angels. The party for me? Yeah, I'm afraid there's been a few too many of those in heaven. Yeah. But I enjoy a good party. And I enjoy having the opportunity to celebrate with all of you when you say, oh, Pastor, I was lost and now I'm found. Yeah, happy feet dancing. Happy feet dancing. Will you join me in a prayer? Loving God, we confess that we always want to make you happy, and help us not to be jealous of the star of the party, knowing the pain that they had to go through to get there. Loving God, we thank you that you are always seeking our best quality of life, that you want for us wholeness and healing, and the joy of living in that grace. God, help us to be so passionate about those who are lost that we dance with the angels every time someone turns to go in a new direction, drawing closer to you. And loving God, help us to be honest about who we are and where we are on our spiritual journey, so that you might guide us through this life and into the life to come. And this we pray in the name of Jesus and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.